Welcome to this week's presentation with Scott Tuhl. We are thrilled to have you joining us as we gain insight from God's Word. Now, speaking from Rosedale Baptist Church in Baltimore, Maryland, here's Pastor Tuhl.
Take our Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. We've been at the Red Sea for about, I think this is our fourth week, and I'm determined to get through the Red Sea today. So Exodus chapter 14, verse number 1, if you will. Verse 1 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pi-hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon, before it ye shall encamp by the sea." Those three positional locators, we've already talked about it, Baal-zephon, Pi-hahiroth, by the sea. Baal-zephon, Pi-hahiroth, by the sea. That's where he said to them, commanded them to camp. Verse number 9, that's exactly where they were camping, but it was at a dead end. It seems like all options have run out. They're in one of the biggest messes they've ever been in, but the good thing is God's going to show them one of the biggest miracles that he's ever done. Put down point number 1, if you will. If you ever feel like you've hit that dead end, you've ever hit that end of the road, you've run out of options, put down number 1. Notice first the unbelievable path to the Red Sea. The unbelievable path to the Red Sea. And I call it unbelievable because we're not supposed to believe in the path anyway. We're not supposed to put our faith in the circumstances anyway. It should be an unbelievable. We're not going to put our faith, our trust, our hope, our belief in the path. We're going to put our faith, our hope, our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been traveling in chapter throughout this, from Ramses to Sukkoth to Etham, and now they turn. It seems like they're going in a great direction from west to east. They should have gone up, but instead they turn and go south, and God's leading doesn't seem to make sense. They're now winding through those mountains, that path to where they only had one option, and then when they come to the Red Sea, that one option was done. They're stuck. They're at a dead end. You understand that God's leading doesn't always match up with our human reasoning. God's leading doesn't always match up with our human reasoning. I can see them saying, "God, I don't see it." And I can hear God say, "Yeah, it's not yours to see it. I don't understand it." And God would say, "Yeah, it's not yours to understand it. I don't have to see if I can see the one who does see. I don't have to understand if I understand the one who omnisciently understands it all." In Proverbs 3, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding." Abraham, Hebrews 11, I love what it says about Abraham, who by faith in the Lord, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, went out, not knowing whither he went. I don't see the way. I don't understand the way. I don't understand the path that you're taking. It's an unbelievable path, but we're really not supposed to put our belief in that path, that situation, those circumstances anyway. You ever been on that path where you don't really understand where you're headed? God, it seems like he's walking you, he's leading you, but it seems like I can't figure out where I'm headed. For them, it was worse. They knew where their destination was, and they knew this absolutely was not the way, the direction they should go. God called me, gifted me, equipped me. He burdened me. God's will for my life is to pastor Rosedale Baptist Church the rest of my life. I know that to be the case. I know that's why God put me here on the planet. But why would he take me from Iowa to Indiana to Pennsylvania out to Southern California before I ever made it to here in Baltimore, Maryland? His ways aren't always our ways. His leading doesn't always match up with our human reasoning. Verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn. They're turning south the wrong direction, and to them it didn't make sense, but there's a purpose behind the path. There's a purpose behind the path, and we don't have to know what that purpose is as long as we know the one who does know. The purpose behind the path, an unbelievable path. But again, we're not really supposed to put our faith in the path anyway. We're not supposed to put our faith in the circumstances, the condition, the lay of the land, the landscape, the financial economy. We're not supposed to place our faith there anyway. We're to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not onto that unbelievable path. Put down number two. Number two. On that unbelievable path, it shows two things. For Israel, they had an unreasonable panic. At the Red Sea, there was an unreasonable panic. And I get that in verse 7, 600,000 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the Egyptian armies now are breathing down their necks to, at best, re-enslave them, at worst, slaughter them. And here they are, backs against that Red Sea, to the south mountains, to the north mountains, behind them, 8 miles of water, impassable. And that one way in, that one way out, their only option left, now there's dust kicking up from the chariots and the horses. They can hear that rattling and that rumbling of that army pressing down on them. But there is an unreasonable panic because they shouldn't have been focusing on those things. They should have been focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ, on God Almighty, on the one who led them to where they're at. Look at verse 10. Israel responds with fear, Moses with faith. Israel with fear, Moses with faith. Look at 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, they're beholding, they're lifting up their eyes, they're looking. The Egyptians marched after them, and they were, say it with me, sore afraid. Sore afraid. Because they were focusing on the Egyptians, they were focusing on the army, they were focusing on the circumstances, they were focusing on that unbelievable path rather than focusing on God himself. The one that led them there, the one that is with them there, the one that can be glorified. Look at it again. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out. They cried out unto the Lord. By the way, this panic shows, it's indicative, it's an indicator that they didn't have their faith and their belief and their trust in the right place. They were focusing on, their faith was on, okay, are they there, are they not there? Can we get out here, can we not get out here? Is the Red Sea blocking, is it not blocking? No, it doesn't matter. The Egyptian army, the mountains around, the Red Sea behind. Our faith should be in the one that created it all. Our faith should be in the one that governs it all. God has his way even the whirlwind. And that unreasonable panic happened because they didn't have their faith in the right person. They opened their mouth, they showed their heart. They opened their mouth, they showed their heart. We've already seen it, but write it down quickly, I'll read it. They opened their mouth when they cried out and showed their heart, number one, of skepticism. They were skeptical. Verse number 11, they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Is that why? Is that why you led us out to kill us here, to bury us here? They opened their mouth, they showed their heart of skepticism. Number two, write it down. They opened their mouth, they showed their heart of selfishness. Selfishness. Having faith in the wrong place, having faith in the wrong place makes you skeptical, it makes you selfish. Verse 11. And they said unto Moses, because there's no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? It showed their heart of skepticism, cynicism, sarcasm, and it showed their heart of selfishness. They opened their mouth. They cried out. They showed their heart, number three, of stubbornness. Of stubbornness. It makes us skeptical. It makes us selfish. It makes us stubborn. Verse 12. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone. Let us alone. We don't want what you have. Let us alone. Made them dig in and become stubborn. And then number four, it makes us short-sighted. When our faith is in the wrong place, they're looking at the Egyptian army. Are they coming? Are they not coming? The mountains, are they there? Passable or are they impassable? The water, is there any way out? When their sight, their look, their faith, their belief, wrong place, it made them skeptical and selfish and stubborn and short-sighted. 12, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians. It had been better for us. You were slaves back then. Your kids were being killed back then. You had no hope back then. You were being oppressed and abused back then. But because they didn't have their faith in God, they didn't have their eyes on the Lord, they became short-sighted, short-sighted. They lost sight of the one that was leading them every step of the way. You ever been there, a dead end? You feel like you're following the Lord. You're zigging and zagging through that mountainscape. We saw the map a couple of weeks ago. And then when you finally get out of that, it's a dead end, a dead end. Hey, understand, they're focusing on all of the problems rather than the person of God. Their eyes are looking at all the problems rather than the one that led. In fact, turn back to chapter 13. Look at verse number 21. Don't forget they were following God. Don't forget they were following the pillar of cloud. Don't forget they're following the pillar of fire. Look at 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud. He's in that pillar of cloud to lead them the way. The Lord's with them, went before them. He's with them to lead them in the way by night by a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. They're going where God led. They're doing what God said. They're going where God led. They're doing what God said. And now they're in a mess. I hope you're remembering, there's a pillar of cloud behind them as they turn, and they're not focused on God anymore. They turn. They're not focused on God's with them, God's leading them, God's glorified by them. Even here, they're focused on an Egyptian army that's breathing down their neck. They weren't making decisions about their directions with a roll of the dice. They weren't making decisions about their directions with a roll of the dice. They knew pillar of cloud. They knew pillar of fire. God's presence there. God's leading them there. But because their focus was in the wrong place, they're collapsing emotionally. Put down number three. Notice the contrast. We have first the unbelievable path. The unbelievable path is the fact that we're not supposed to put our belief in that path anyway. Put our faith in our circumstances anyway. Our hope in our budget. Our faith in our health anyway. It's an unbelievable path. And there was an unreasonable panic only because they weren't focusing on God. But Moses, number three, had an unshakable peace. An unshakable peace. He had a peace that passed all understanding. He had a calmness in the storm, realizing the Lord has his way even in the whirlwind, that unshakable peace. Israel filled with fear, Moses filled with faith. Israel filled with fear, Moses filled with faith, but it was because of where their focus was. Israel focusing on, they looked up, behold, the Egyptian army, the chariots, the chosen chariots, all, they're focusing there, they're obsessed there, they're looking there. Moses had his eyes. Moses endured by seeing him who is invisible. Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham looked for a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We're to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But Israel at this dead end, instead of focusing on him and worshiping him and being obsessed by who he is, they turned and were focusing, obsessing about their problems, and that's what brought them panic in their heart. Now, where they opened their mouth, showed their heart, Moses is also here. Look at verse number 13. And Moses said unto the people, he's opening his mouth, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. They opened their mouth, showed their heart of skepticism, of stubbornness, of selfishness, of short-sightedness. And now Moses opens his mouth and shows his heart of faith. Put down number one. The first thing that he says is, let go of your fear. Let go of your fear. Look at verse number 13 again. And Moses said unto the people, say it with me, fear ye not. Say those three words again. You ready? Fear ye not. Not. Calm down. Relax. Don't panic. There's a purpose in the path, and I don't need to know what it is as long as I know the one who does know what it is. There's a purpose behind my problems, and I don't have to understand that purpose as long as I understand the one who does understand the purpose. God led them. God said to them, they're exactly where God wants them to be, but it's causing extreme panic. But for Moses, there's incredible peace. And he says first, fear not, fear not, fear not. Let go of your fear. Question, Who led them to that beachfront dead end? Was it Moses or was it God? Okay, let me ask it again. There's a pillar of cloud, that's a hint. There's a pillar of fire, that's another hint. The Lord is in the pillar of cloud, he's leading them. Okay, did I give you enough hints? Who led them to that dead end that they're at right now? Was it Moses or was it God? Who allowed every option to be gone? And usually we think about options are good. It's good to have options, but there's times when all of our options are gone and God shows us that he's really the first option, the only option that we need. When we get to the point where God's all I have left, we realize that God's all I have left, then we realize God's all that I really need. Let go of your fear. In fact, 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He opens his mouth, shows his heart of faith by saying, let go of your fear. Fear ye not. But now number two, he opens his mouth, shows his heart of faith by saying, number two, look up to the Father. Look up to the Father. Look at verse number 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, stand still. Stand still. Fear the fight or flight mentality, the fight or flight mentality. Fear usually causes us to run. And Moses is saying, hey, don't run. Hey, stand still. Hey, don't run away from church, and don't run away from your Bible reading, and don't run away from your prayer time. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. When you're running, you won't be watching. When you're running, you're leaving, you won't be seeing the handiwork of God. Stand still and see. Now, the contrast couldn't be any more clear. Moses is focused on God. Moses is imploring them to focus on God. Look at what they were focusing on, verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. These ones that had unreasonable panic, as they're not focused on God, they're focused on the negatives, they're focused on the problem, they're focused on the circumstances, the surrounding. The children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, they're beholding, the Egyptians marched after them, and of course they're sore afraid. They're not keeping their eyes where they should be. They're focusing on all the problems rather than focusing on their God. Look at it again, 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. Not only let go of your fear, make sure you're looking up to the Father. And by the way, it's almost, they go hand in hand. We let go of our fear by looking up to the Father. We can't look up to the Father until we do let go of our fear. It's a two-stroke engine that's symbiotic. And so, let go of your fear, look up to the Father, look at it. Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen, it's all about where you're looking, it's all about where you're focusing. The Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you. God runs along their side, comes along their side by way of Moses speaking to their hearts, saying, don't focus on the problems, focus on me. Don't focus on the circumstances, the surroundings. Don't focus on that doctor's report or that economic report, that layoff or that downsizing. Don't focus on that. Focus on me, God would say, because I'm in control. I'm in charge of. I can govern every problem. Look to me. Keep your eyes on me. I've found that when I look up, it helps me to loosen up. When I look up, it helps me to loosen up. I was unsaved going into my senior year, and I didn't hear the gospel until Christmas vacation of my senior year. I was given just recently, before Christmas vacation, a 4-year full-ride scholarship to the University of Iowa, Hawkeyes. It's my mom's alma mater, graduated with her master's from there. And so it was a big deal in our family. My mom and dad had dreams. They graduate from Iowa, and full ride, 4-year scholarship, and because my mom had a heart for that college, she was going to pay, my dad was going to pay any extra that I had. I wouldn't have to worry about one penny. The problem was, over Christmas vacation, I was saved. I was born again. I trusted Jesus. First time, heard the gospel, bowed my head, opened my heart, put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. First time. And I started reading the Bible, and God started working on my heart. God started turning my heart to the ministry, to pastoring, to doing what God wants me to do. And in that three-month period, I surrendered to ministry. I surrendered to following God in the pastorate. The problem was I didn't have a four-year Fulbright scholarship to Bible college. I didn't even really have my mom and dad's backing because their heart was for Iowa. And I had to figure out how to pay my way on my own. And the problem was, as I was getting panic attacks about paying every penny of tuition and every penny of room and board, the only job I ever had up until then was a job where I had this little hat, and I would say, would you like fries with that meal? But anyway, and so I didn't know how I was going to make ends meet, and I really was kind of overwhelmed one day specifically when I got on my knees and I flipped open my Bible, and I don't recommend that. You may hit the wrong place, but there, God had mercy on my ignorance. I flipped open my Bible, and the first verse I looked down at was Psalm 121:1. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He'll not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out, thy coming in, from this time forth, even forevermore. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? It's the first time I learned this lesson of don't focus on how to make in the job and how's this going to work out, the situation and the detail. Hey, don't obsess with that. Make sure you're keeping your eyes focused on Jehovah God, the King of who we are, our Savior, our hero, the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. We're focused on him. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, even if mountains are starting to crash into the ocean, the earth be removed, we're not going to fear because we're focused on who he is. And their panic, or Moses' peace, had everything to do with where is his faith focused. Isaiah 43, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia, Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. Number one, let go of your fear. Number two, look up to the Father. Number three, launch out in faith. Launch out in faith. Look at it again. Verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? He's already said, fear ye not. He's already said, stand still. He's already said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. It's the Lord that fights for you. And now in verse 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they, say the next two words, go forward. That they go forward. Say it again, that they go forward. I can imagine them as they look to the left, there's mountains. As they look to the right, there's mountains. As they look at that one way in, that one way out, there's an Egyptian army that's coming to kill them. And as they turn around to where Moses said, go forward, there's water for 8 miles. There's water for 8 miles. There's still not a way. There's still not an option there. But God still says, keep your eyes on me and go forward. Keep your eyes on me and go forward. Put down number four, the undeniable parting of the Red Sea. The undeniable parting of the Red Sea. Let's read through it. Verse 19. When you let go of your fear, when you look up to the Father, and then when you launch out in faith, look at verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud that went before their face stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud of darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all that night. God took that pillar of cloud and removed it from in front of them to behind them, blocking blocking the Egyptian army, 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land. And the waters were divided, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses and all of his chariots and all of his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked on the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians and took off their chariot wheels. Boy, isn't that great? You talk about waking up and someone has stolen your tires off of your car. That's where God is right now. He's taking off their chariot wheels and they're driving them heavily. You know, I'm glad that God doesn't just provide. He provides. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So much more than we could imagine. By the time I graduated college, having gone in panicking about how I was going to make ends meet, there was 13 different people that not only did I pay, God paid my bill, 13 different people that I helped them pay their school bill. There was two teenagers that I helped pay their school bill through Christian high school, and God not only supplied. God not only supplied. I had a missionary that called the other day just thanking me for paying that bill. My brother the other day down at his place paying me for paying that bill. It's been a long time since Charlene thanked me for it. Anyway, one of the 13, junior, senior year, paid her school bill. But what I'm trying to say, they didn't have to march through the mud. They didn't have to wade through the muck. When God was involved, he parted the Red Sea, and they marched across on dry ground, and then God took the chariot wheels. Look at verse number 25. And he took off their chariot wheels that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them." The Lord fighteth for them. Isn't that what Moses told Israel already? Stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, for it's the Lord that fighteth for you. And now the enemy armies of God, the Egyptian armies, they're seeing exactly what Moses said. The Lord's fighting for them. Look at verse number 26. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. There's a purpose behind that problem. And the purpose, one of the reasons, is if they would have went any other way, they still would have been worrying about the Egyptians, worrying about those chosen chariots, worrying about those armies. But God took them this way, a dead end, so that he would eternally free them from that oppression that they had. Look at verse number 29. But the children of Israel walked upon there. It is again dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel, next word, saw. They saw the handiwork of God. They saw that this is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. They saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people, they didn't fear the Egyptians any longer, and the Egyptians feared the Lord. They had an awe and a respect. They worshiped God. They feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Put down number 5. We're done. We saw first the unbelievable path. We're not supposed to put our belief in the path. We're not supposed to put our faith in the condition. We're not supposed to put our trust in the situation or the circumstances. And then we saw their unreasonable panic because they're focused in the wrong place. We saw Moses' unshakable peace because his focus was on God. The undeniable parting. And then lastly, number 5, the unrestrainable praise because of the parting of the Red Sea. And we'll look at that next week in chapter number 15. For a whole chapter, Moses led Israel, and then Miriam steps up and she leads Israel in praise and worship, giving glory to the only one that could see them through, the only one that could show them the way through. Listen right up here. A crowd this size, I don't know all of our dead ends that we hit. I do know the ones that I've been faced with at times in my life. I don't know all the vocational or personal or relational or financial or physical situations that so many here represent so many different dead ends. But I do know this. I do know that God's with you if you're a child of God. He's with you. He's with you. God led you if you're a child of God. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. He led you. He's with you. He wants to be glorified by you even during the dead ends. And I guess my advice would be the advice Moses gave Israel. Fear ye not, stand still. Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Because end of the day, if I die at the Red Sea or if I'm delivered through the Red Sea, I want my focus to be on God. I want to make sure that he's glorified. Paul said in Philippians 1 that Christ might be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Either way, it's not about the fiery furnace being turned off. It's about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego glorifying God, focusing on God, walking with the fourth man that was like unto the Son of God, the Son of God, by having that relationship with God, even in those times. And so, for the one that feels like all options are off the table, I don't see any option. It hurts. It feels like a dead end. Let go of your fear. Look up to the Father and launch out by faith. Launch out by faith.
And that is today's message. We invite you to tune in next time with Scott Toole as he presents another message from Rosedale Baptist Church. For more information about today's presentation or about the ministries of Rosedale Baptist Church, go online to rosedalebaptist.org. That's rosedalebaptist.org. Join us again next time as we study the Bible chapter by chapter, verse by verse.